It was some years ago now when I first heard about J. John and had a delight of listening to a number of his messages. I've read a number of his books, and it is a massive privilege that here at the King's Arms to have him come and join us. He travels extensively all over the world and speaks to many, many thousands of people, and so it really is a delight for us to have him. And I would really love for us to give him a huge King's Arms welcome and to honour him for all that he does and for everything that he's given and his passion for God in this time. So can we honour him as he comes to speak to us?
Nice to see you. I didn't realise it was dress down Sunday, Steve. Steve's still got his slippers on. Thank you so much for your welcome. It's great to be here. When people ask me, what do you do? It's very difficult to know what to say, because if I say I'm a minister, that kind of conjures up certain images in people's minds. And so I often like to be a little bit creative when I'm telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, oh, hello. I said, where are you going? She says, well, I'm going to Singapore. Then she says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Perth, Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. She said, what do you do? I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She says, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals, we've got hospices, we've got homeless shelters, we look after the poor, we do work with orphans, we do marriage work, we do justice work, we do reconciliation work, we've got education work. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioural alteration. She went, wow! No, like really loud, and it was a little small compartment. Everyone turned around, looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Have you heard of it? Do you know, if you're a follower of Jesus, then you're part of the church, and it is a global enterprise. I mean, that is quite amazing, isn't it? A global enterprise. Not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us. I mean, that's an amazing, amazing thought, really, isn't it? Now, so what I do is, I basically teach what the Christian faith is all about. That's what basically I do. I'm a bit like a peripatetic teacher. So traveling, teaching what this Christian faith is about. And I do it in all sorts of different ways. Anyone here is a Twitterer? Twit? Anyone a twit? I'm a twit. No, I Twitter. If you Twitter, my name is Canon J. John, and I often just send out little things that every other day, little thoughts that help people think about this Christian faith. I also send out an article. I write an article every month, and I send that out by email on different subjects related to the Christian faith. And if you want to receive that article, just jot your email down as the board comes round, and you can get that once a month for nothing. And if you want to read it, great. You don't want to read it, delete it. You know, it's no big deal, really. And I also write various books and things, and I just want to mention a couple before I speak. I go into lots of homes on my travels and go into lots of loos, and I'm always intrigued in the loos what kind of books people have got. But my kind of conclusion is that most people have got a loo book that's been in there for 10 years, and you think it must be full of infection. I mean, how many hundreds of people have touched it? It's like, ah! You know, so if you need a new loo book, if you need a new Louis book, this might be a good book, 26 Steps to Heaven, right? And in there's like 50 subjects, 2 pages on each subject, you know, from just kind of love and gratitude and faith and friends and New Year. And so just 2 pages, well, obviously it depends how long you're on there, but anyway, that might be a good little Louis book, all right? Now, it's Valentine's Day next week, and so maybe some of the wives might like to buy this book for their husbands. It's called Marriage Works. And, you know, if you want a bit of a refresher course, just think about marriage again. Are you doing all right? Are there some things you're not really doing, or some things you could do better? I think we could all do with a bit of refreshment to realign our thinking with marriage. And very, very important. Relationships are vital. And it might be that you're thinking about marriage, or you're dating, or you're engaged. So this might be something you want to dip into. The disciples of Jesus said to Jesus, "Jesus, how can we pray?" And then Jesus said, "This is how you should pray." And he tells them how to pray. That prayer has become known as the Lord's Prayer. There's only 69 words in it. But we're very good, aren't we, at saying the prayer. You know, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And you can say it so fast, you haven't got a clue what you're saying. So if you want to really understand what each of those words means, and what each of those sentences means, and how it can become a reality to your life, then there's a book called God's Priorities. I think one of the biggest questions in the Bible was this question. It was a question in the Old Testament, and the question was this: what does God want us to do? Wow, is that not the question of all questions? What does God want us to do? And then there's an answer, and the answer is in one sentence, and it says that God wants us to do 3 things. Just three. I mean, it's amazing. Out of all the things that God could have said, he says, "I want you to do 3 things. Kindness, humility, justice." Out of all the things God could have said. And here's a little book called Walking with God that unpacks each of those phrases. Now, who wants a new Lou book? If you want a new Lou book, come and get this. It's free. Yeah. All right. Okay, Sam, come here. This is a marriage book, right? Just go near to the back. Who wants a marriage book? Oh, there's a hand right up there at the back, Sam. Okay, who wants the God's priorities on the Lord's Prayer? Over there? All right, go on, come. Here it is. And then who wants Walking with God? Who wants that? You want that? You can have that. That's all right. A lot of people's understanding of Christianity is a misunderstanding. Oh, by the way, there are some other, those books are available outside later. And they've all been discounted, all down to £5. So just to make it easy, if you feel you want one, and if you haven't got £5, nick it. And a friend of mine nicked a book because he didn't want to pay for it. And he went home and he felt so bad he nicked the book. He read it that night and he became a Christian. So, no. But they're all £5. They're all out there. Right, listen. Right, here's the message. A lot of people's understanding of Christianity is a misunderstanding. So there's a confusion about what it is. So I want to explain it to you. And basically, when people get up to teach and to preach, like I'm going to do now, 3 things happen. 1, you're reminded of things that you already know, which you've forgotten. 2, things are reinforced. In other words, things that you already know, but you need to hear again, are reinforced. And thirdly, new things are revealed. So this morning, you're going to be reminded of things that you know, but you've forgotten. Things are going to be reinforced, but also something new is going to be revealed. And what you just need to say in your own heart now, whether you have faith or don't know if you have any faith, is to say, "Okay, God, remind me, reinforce things, and reveal things to me. Would you do that, Lord God? We pray for each of us. By your Spirit, remind us, reinforce things, and reveal things. I think one of the easiest ways to understand Christianity is to consider it as an invitation. Now, if you're anything like me, I'm sure you appreciate invitations. Even if you can't go, you think, oh, isn't it nice they remembered me? Now, if it's an invitation to a very special occasion, like a wedding or a party, you get the card. At the bottom of the card, you find the letters RSVP. What do they stand for? There was this professor with his wife from another country in England for a semester. While they were here, they received a wedding invitation. Bottom of the card, RSVP. But they didn't have that code back in their country. So the professor was trying to crack the code. And then eventually cracks the code. He says, yes! His wife said, what? He said, RSVP, remember some wedding present. Now, you and I, we know what those letters stand for. They stand for Respondez, s'il vous plaît, which basically means, are you going to come? Are you coming? And at the bottom, you find a date. So if you don't reply by the date, you can't go, you've blown it, that's it. Now, we're all being offered the invitation today. Will we be offered the invitation tomorrow? Don't know. You'll say, what do you mean you don't know? What? We don't know whether we're going to be here tomorrow. You see, so that's why there's an urgency about replying to the invitation. Now, the Bible says that a good life is 70 years and 10. Okay, that is a good life. Now, 70 years and 10, that is 70 years. Okay? Now, I just want to illustrate something. Could I have 7 volunteers very quickly all lined up here? 7 volunteers. Quick. I just need 7 people. Yeah, great. Come on. 7. Just 7 of you. Perfect. Over here. Over here. All right. 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I don't need more than 7. Just 7. Perfect. All right. That's it. Right. Okay. Right. Just stand there. I need 7. Yeah. One more. That's it. Good. Right. Okay. Now, 70 years and 10. Okay. That is 70 years. Let's allocate 10 years per day. Okay. Monday, 1 to 10. Okay. So you're Monday. Okay. You're Tuesday. You're Wednesday. You're Thursday. You're Friday. Your Saturday, your Sunday. Okay? Now, I have passed Monday, I've passed Tuesday, I've passed Wednesday, I've passed Thursday, I've passed Friday, I'm Saturday morning. How's your weekend looking? Is your weekend looking good? Okay, now some of you are over 70 here, and you're getting a little bit worried. Well, how does this work? And some of you may have parents or grandparents and they're over 70. You'll think, oh no, right, I need 2 more people. I just need 2 people. 2 more people? 2? Just 2? Okay, 1? Another 1? All right, and then sometimes God gives us a bank holiday Monday. Sometimes God gives us a bank holiday Tuesday. I tell you this, very few people get a bank holiday Wednesday. Now, so, how old are you? Look at this. Where are you on this scale? You see, all of this is a blip on the eternal screen. Our life could be over today. And even if we live 70 years and 10 and God gives us an extra bank holiday, there's still not a lot left. That's why it's important to reply to the invitation. Thanks so much. That is why it's so important to reply to the invitation. Now, when you get an invitation, there are a number of things you want to know. This is what you want to know. Three things. One, who is it from? Who is it to? What's it about? Right, let's answer the questions. Who's it from? The invitation is from God, delivered to us in Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The invitation is from God delivered to us in Jesus Christ. Now, if you got an invitation to go and have tea with the Queen, I bet you'd mention it to everybody. You just, every conversation, oh, yes, yeah, I got an invitation to go and have tea with Elizabeth. You know, you'd just mention it, wouldn't you? You'd mention it to everyone. Why? Because the Queen of England. Now, listen to this. One day, every queen that has ever reigned, every king that has ever reigned, every president, every prime minister that has ever held an office, they're all going to be on their knees in front of Jesus, and they're all going to say, Jesus, you're the king. You see, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You see, he's the king of the entire cosmos, the entire universe. So in other words, the creator of the whole universe is issuing this invitation. Who to? For God so loved the world. Every one of us, you and I, irrespective of who we are, our age, the color of our skin, every one of us. Now, not every person acknowledges the invitation. And on another occasion, Jesus said this, come to me if you're burdened, if you're heavy laden. A modern translation of that would be, come to me if you're stressed. Come to me if you're burnt out. Come to me if you're sick and tired. Come to me if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You see, some people will not look up to God until they hit rock bottom. But you don't have to wait to hit rock bottom till you look up. You don't have to do that. Why would I wait to hit rock bottom before I looked up? Why don't I look up anyway? I went to give a series of lectures at Oxford University. And at the end of the week, the student comes up to me and says, Mr. John, I've listened to all your lectures and I find you very interesting. I said, oh, thank you very much. He said, but personally, I believe that Christianity is a crutch. And I looked at him and I thought, I hope you break your legs. I just thought it. I thought it. Well, you know how you think things. And then I rephrased it. And I said to him, if you broke both of your legs, would you appreciate the use of a wheelchair to get around? He said, yes, I would. I said, if you broke one leg, would you appreciate the use of crutches to get around? He said, yes, I would. I said, well, I'm a broken person. So are you. And I'm so pleased I can lean on Jesus while he's putting me back together again. You know, so when people say Christianity is a crutch, it is. It is. Because I'm broken. It is. The invitation is from Jesus, it's to you, it's to me. What is Christianity about? Listen, the Bible has got 800,000 words in it. Shall I tell you what it's about? Just three things. That's all. These three things, I'll tell you what they are now. Everything else in the Bible is commentary and application on these three principles. This is what Christianity is about. One, forgiveness from the past. Two, new life here today. Three, a hope for the future. That's it. That's it. One, forgiveness from the past. Do you agree with the following statement? There are problems in the world today. Yeah? We all agree, don't we? Anyone disagree? No, we all agree there are problems in the world today. It's really interesting, isn't it? All the people who know how to run the country are too busy cutting hair and driving taxi cabs. Have you noticed that? I said to my hairdresser, it's a great shame you're busy cutting hair. You could be the Prime Minister. You know, in a 30-minute haircut, this is what a country, you know. In other words, we all know how to run the country, but we don't really, do we? You see, a lot of people are trying to alleviate the symptoms. The government is trying to alleviate the symptoms. The social agencies, I'm not saying they're not doing good, they are, but they're trying to alleviate the symptoms. But if you only try to work on the symptoms, you're always going to have the symptoms unless you deal with the root cause. If you don't deal with the root cause, you're always going to have the symptoms. There was a mother said to her husband, "Darling, I'm a little bit busy. Look after Annie for me, their daughter." Father said, "Fine," but he was a little bit busy. He thought, what could he do to occupy his daughter? He's flicking through a magazine. He sees a map of the world. He says, "Annie, watch what I'm going to do." He cut the map of the world into small squares and he muddled them all over the floor. He said, "Annie, I want you to put the squares back together again to make the map of the world. When you've done that, come and find me." So the father thought, good, that'll keep her busy. A few minutes later, she says, "Daddy, I've done it." He thought, she couldn't have done it. Went to have a look. All the squares were put in exactly the right place. He says, "Annie, how did you know where to put the squares?" She said, "Well, when you were cutting the map out, I looked on the other side. And I saw a picture of a man and a woman. And I thought, if I could put the man and the woman back together again, I could put the world back together again." You see, the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Repeat after me. The heart, I said after me. The heart of the human problem. Is the problem of the human heart. You see, unless you deal with the heart problem, you're always going to have problems. You're always going to have problems. It's the heart problem. That heart problem, that heart disease, that heart dis-ease, if you go back to the Bible, the word for it is sin. It's because we've got these sinful hearts. It's out of the heart. Let me illustrate it for you in a different way. Just imagine you passed out of this life now. This is just an analogy. You woke up in a theater, sitting there on your own. In front of you is a big screen. All of a sudden, the doors open, an angel flies in, comes up to you and says, "Welcome to the theater of judgment. Relax." Watch the screen. Now, there on the screen, you see your life. Everything you ever did here on earth, everything you ever said here on earth, and everything you ever thought. You see it on the screen. Those are called the sins of commission. At the end of that, you then watch the sins of omission. All the things we should have done, but we didn't do. All the times we could have been kind, but we didn't want to be. All the times we should have been generous, we didn't want to be. We see it all on the film. At the end of the film, as we're recovering, the angel comes back and says, "Relax, there's going to be a second showing. All the people who were featured in the film of your life are all waiting outside. We're just going to let them in to view your life a second time." What rating would your film be? Would your rating be suitable for family viewing? I would not want a private viewing, let alone a public viewing of my life. Now, I don't need convincing that I thought, said, and done things that I shouldn't. And there are things I should have done I didn't do. And what are we like? You may actually say, "That's a great analogy, J. John." And a lot of people might. But what do we generally do? We would agree, and then we would rather cover up than find a cure. But all that stuff, disconnects us from God, and it works a bit like an overdraft in a bank account. If you've got an overdraft and I've got an overdraft, you can't help me, I can't help you. The only one who can help us is someone in credit. Jesus was the only one in credit. Jesus came into this world to do something for us. I was doing my shopping at Tesco's. I got to the checkout counter. The lady on the checkout had a cross around her neck. So I said, "Oh, hello, you're a Christian." She said, "What?" I said, "You're a Christian." She says, "What are you talking about?" I said, "You've got a cross around your neck." She goes, "Oh, it's nice." I looked at her name tag, Tracy. I said, "Tracy, it wasn't nice, it was nasty." She looked at me as though I was an alien that had just landed in Tesco's. So we're putting it all on the conveyor belt and we're chatting. I said, "Listen, Tracy, if I had an earring here and you said, 'What's your earring?' That one there, that's a gas chamber." "No." "Yeah. Why are you wearing a gas chamber earring?" I said, "Well, I like to remember how millions of Jewish people died in the Second World War." "Then you said to me, 'What's your other earring?' That one, that's an electric chair." "No." "Yeah. Why are you wearing an electric chair earring?" I said, "Well, I want to remember how certain criminals in the United States got executed for their crimes." I said, "What would you think of me if I was walking around with an electric chair earring, gas chamber earring?" She says, "I think you're absolutely balmy." I said, "Tracy, is that because they're symbols of execution?" She goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." So I said, "Tracy, what are you wearing around your neck?" And you know how just that moment there, it just went quiet. The whole of Tesco's went quiet. Seriously, unbelievable. The whole of Tesco's went quiet and she went, "Oh my word." I said, "Tracy, you've got to remember, Jesus didn't wear it around his neck. He wore it on his back." Big difference. Big difference. Jesus came into this world to do something for us, to die upon the cross. In the words of one of the writers of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he died to purchase for us forgiveness. It was as if he was cashing a check signed with his own blood to say, "Here's the check," to clear the overdraft, to clear it away, to wash it clean, set us free. Forgiveness from the past. You see, we're all guilty. All of us are guilty. The big question is, what do we do with our guilt? Some people deny it. "No, I'm not guilty. No, I'm not guilty." Some people deflect it. "Oh, it's not my fault. You know, it's my parents' fault. It's the teacher's fault. It's that person's fault. It's the government's fault." Some people drown it because they do know they're guilty. And the only way they can cope, they think they can cope, is to drown it. They try and drown it with drink or drugs or experiences. But listen, if you're guilty, you cannot deny it, you cannot deflect it, you cannot drown it. The only thing you can do it is to get rid of it is to dissolve it in the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing you can do. But if you do that, you can have forgiveness from the past. But not only forgiveness from the past, but two, new life here today. Today, new life. Think of your life for a moment like a car. Okay? To be a follower of Jesus means Jesus is in the car of your life. You see, the word Christian has got the word Christ in it. If you remove the word Christ from the word Christian, you're left with I-A-N. Ian isn't going to help you. Now, I'm sure Ian's a nice guy, but he's not going to help you. You see, there's too many people today who go, "Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm Christian. Yeah, I'm Christian. Yeah, 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 yeah." And got absolutely no connection with Christ at all, at all. Right. To be a Christian means you're connected to Christ, okay? So that means Christ is in the car of your life. So if you're not connected to Christ, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to get connected to Christ. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do so that you know. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seats, out of the rows. I'm going to ask you to come and stand here at the front so that you're forewarned. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. It's going to be really difficult. If you're wondering, very difficult to do. But I'm still going to ask you to do it. If you want to get connected to Christ. Now, others of us, you're saying, oh, no, he's in the car. He's in the car. Oh, that's good. Where is he? Do you drive your car to church, unlock the boot, get Jesus out for a religious happy hour? At the end of the service, get back in there. Yeah? You see, none of the neighbours know. You know, nobody at work knows. You know, it's really hidden. Others of you going, no, he's in the car. What, on the back seat, a bit of a passenger? No, he's in the front. What, front passenger seat? In other words, a bit more of a companion, but still a passenger. And you're going, know where you're going with this illustration, J. John. I don't think you do, actually, but you think you do. You're going to think, he's now going to say, is he in the driving seat? I am, actually. Is he in the driving seat of the car of your life? Everyone who thought that, got one more question. Are you a backseat driver? Get to a roundabout, Jesus turns left. Where are you going? I'm going down the road of generosity. I don't want to be generous. You know, people think they're generous. Brits think they're generous. They squeeze the pound so tightly, they make the Queen cry. You get to a crossroads, he turns right. Where are you going? I'm going down the road of forgiveness. I don't want a forgiver. Did you ever see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding? You saw that movie, right? Okay, I'm Greek. When that movie came out, friends of mine said, is it true, John? Is it true? I said, no, it's not true. It's worse. My mother is a travel agent for guilt trips. But I've got to forgive her. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, he's in the driving seat. But the reality is, you know, I'm dictating the direction. And then no wonder I'm not experiencing all that he wants me to have. To have new life today means that you put him in the driving seat and let him direct your life. The tipping point for me, okay, I was a student in London, agnostic, met a Christian, he gave me a Bible, educated me on Christianity, and then one day he showed me in the last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, there's a picture of Jesus knocking on the door of a house. And it says this, he's knocking. And then it says this, if you hear the knock, open the door, let him in. And my friend Andy said to me, have you heard the knock? I said, I think I have. He goes, have you opened the door? I said, where's the door? He goes, oh, don't worry about where the door is. Just ask Jesus to break the door down. 9th of February 1975, I said, Jesus, if you're knocking on the door of my life, break it down, come into my life. Honestly, at that moment, whoa, the light came on. At that moment, the light came on. My heart was warm. It was so hot. I could feel this heat in there. And it was amazing. My whole mind became alive. My mother said to me, you're brainwashed. I said, Mum, my brain has been washed. If you only knew, Mum, what was in my brain, you'd be pleased it got washed. Honestly, my mum didn't know what was in my brain. I can tell you, it was worth washing. The light came on. And I started to see things differently. But the thing is, when you invite him in, and he comes in by his spirit. His spirit comes into you, called the Holy Spirit. But it's very, very easy to open the cupboard and go, get in there. You know, because it's like, I'm not sure how much I want him in my life. My wife said to me the other day, oh, we've had the windows cleaned. I said, no, we haven't. She goes, yes, we have. I said, we haven't. She goes, we have. He came. He cleaned them. I said, no, he cleaned the outside. Didn't clean the inside, did he? So that means they're only half done. Isn't that true in life? Sometimes we say, we've had the windows cleaned. Huh. We've only had them half done. It hasn't made much difference because the inside's not been cleaned. But when you let the Spirit of God in, the windows get clean. Whoa, and you can start seeing. Things are different. But what we got to do is to say, Spirit of God, come down into the basement, clear out the cobwebs. Come into the attic, clear out the bats. Come into this room, come into that room, come into this room. The Bible says this, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not resist the Holy Spirit. Give the Spirit of God freedom in your life, into every area of your life. Don't restrict him. And as you allow him that freedom, and it's amazing. What happens is this, that the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. They're pretty good qualities, actually, aren't they? Aren't they pretty good qualities? Wouldn't those qualities be quite nice in a marriage? Aren't they quite nice in the family? Quite good to help with neighbours? Quite good at work? Quite good with everything, aren't they? Have those sorts of qualities. So, if you are a follower of Jesus, you've been one for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, how fruity are you? How fruity are you? You see, everyone in the whole world needs a new heart. But if you're already a follower of Jesus, you don't need a new heart. But the problem with so many people who call themselves followers of Jesus is that they got blocked arteries. And it might be your arteries need to... You need the breath of God just to clear them so that you can be invigorated with more of his power, more of his presence, more of his peace. Forgiveness from the past, new life here today, and thirdly, a hope for the future. In a world where there is so much hopelessness, there is hope in Jesus. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, men and women are traveling along one of two roads. Men and women are serving one of two masters. Men and women are building their lives on one of two foundations. Men and women are heading towards one of two destinies, heaven, hell. This is from the most loving man who ever lived in the history of the world. Why would he divide people into categories? If it wasn't true. Listen, if there's a wedding in the family, what do? You make preparations. There's a birthday in the family, you make preparations. Christmas is approaching, you make preparations. But we don't prepare for the one appointment we're all going to keep. There is hope. There's a graveyard in York. And in this graveyard, there's a tombstone. On the tombstone are written these words. Remember, friend, when passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. Somebody read those words and disagreed with them. And they scratched an addition into the stone, still there today. And they wrote, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. A lot of people's hope in Britain today is a bit like a hospital gown. You're usually not as well covered as you think you are. What is Christianity? Christianity is an invitation. Who from? Jesus. Who to? You and me. What's it about? Forgiveness from the past, new life here today, a hope for the future. It's putting him into the driving seat of your life. It's opening the door and letting him come into your home, filling you with his presence and his peace, cleaning your life inside so you can see, look out. That is it. Essentially, that is what it's all about. I spoke at a men's breakfast, and this man comes up to me afterwards, and he says, Jay John, he goes on, I believe in everything you've said, but I'm not a Christian. I said, I'm sorry? He says, I believe in everything you've said, but I'm not a Christian. I said, I'm confused. You believe in everything I have just said, but you're not a Christian? No, 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 no. I said, why are you not a Christian? He goes, that's a good question. I said, well, tell me. He goes, well, I'm not a Christian because if I became a Christian, I'd have to admit to my wife that she was right after all. Seriously, that's what he said. I looked at him, I said, you must be stupid. I did. I said, you must be the ass of the week. I did. I was so amazed. I was so amazed. You're telling me you're willing to reject Christianity because you can't humble yourself to admit to your wife that she was right after all. What kind of an idiot are you? This is being offered to us. All of us. And some of you today, you need to accept this invitation. On February the 6th, because it's being offered to you, and the reply date is February the 6th. Some of you need to open the door, let him in. Some of you have got Jesus in your car, but he's actually in the boot. He's in the back seat. He's not really in the driving seat. He may appear to be, but he's not really. And some of you, what you need to do today is to kind of reinforce these truths so that they can become a greater reality in your life. And you need to do that. Could I ask the worship group to please come back? What we're going to do, we're going to sing one of my favorite songs, Amazing Grace. That song was written by a man called John Newton, and John Newton said in his own words that he had broken all of the Ten Commandments. He was an adulterer, he was a liar, he was a swindler, he was a cheat, he was an abuser, and one day he opened the door. One day, he connected with Jesus. The encounter transformed his life. And he tried to express it. And he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. That's what happens. That's what happens. Our lives get transformed.